this is your first year at Georgia Southern. So for people who aren't familiar, who you haven't had a chance to meet yet, give us a little bit of your background.
Obviously.
Do you like puns as much as we do?
Yeah, I do. You guys should keep me on my toes. I got to come up with a couple. But obviously, I got to Statesboro in March. You know, it's been unbelievable. Whatever that is, six, seven months. It's been unbelievable 6, 7 months, obviously, you know, with school starting back up in the fall and all the excitement around fall sports, obviously, yeah. Especially football. And then, you know, volleyball, women's soccer. There's been so many hot starts for us as an athletic department. Just seeing the excitement around campus and in the community. So my wife, you know, our two kids, we're really, really enjoying our time in Statesboro. It's been awesome. I get asked a lot, you know, because I came from, you know, the University of Alabama the last 4 years. I get asked all the time, like, oh, is Statesboro a lot different than Tuscaloosa? And, you know, I think people just naturally think I'm coming from Tuscaloosa, but before Tuscaloosa, I was 4 years. My wife and I lived in downtown Chicago. Obviously, I was working for the Chicago Bulls, so I have to remind them. I said, "No, moving from Chicago to Tuscaloosa was much different."
That was the culture shock.
Yeah, we never got in our car in Chicago unless it was me driving to work. You know, we had no kids. We walked to eat about every night. You know, my wife's not much for cooking. So we could go to a different restaurant in you know, the evenings, nights, and NBA off seasons are pretty, you know, a little bit different than college. You're not recruiting. So so that was the big move. You know, Tuscaloosa to Statesboro. It's I left one special community and joined another one. So it's we pretty much hit the ground running. We did leave Tuscaloosa now with two kids, so that was a little bit different.
Yeah, pick the kids up in Alabama.
Yeah, we came with nothing and left with two more. So, but yeah, that's obviously my wife's got her hands full, and I'm helping best I can. But we're really, really enjoying our time in Statesboro.
Well, that's definitely, yeah, I mean, you want to talk about culture shock. I imagine going from Chicago to the South, like Alabama, what was one of the biggest cultural changes for you? For, you know, people that I have family from up north that come down south sometimes, and the thing they always say that surprises them is that people are friendly.
Yep.
Like,
yeah.
That's like, yo, you will get a passing like pleasantry on the street from someone,
yes.
Which is not as common up north, apparently. I think the cold maybe makes more jaded edges on people.
Yeah, you know? for sure. You know, my wife's from Salt Lake City, and she drives like a big city driver. So she adapted to, you know,
she adapted to
Chicago traffic pretty quick. I mean,
right.
she's on the horn before you even know what happened, and she might exchange some pleasantries. But, we love Southern hospitality. We have found the people to just be really, really nice and really, really caring and go out of their way for you. My son's at First Baptist Preschool, and my parents came and visited, and they were, you know, before the meal, he all of a sudden, you know, starts praying over the meal, and my parents look at me like, oh, we're so happy you got him praying, and me and my wife are like, where the heck did he start doing this?
We've been praying on him for years. Yeah.
But we really do love the Southern community. When I first got to Tuscaloosa, you know, I naturally thought maybe I would be back in the Midwest at some point, because obviously that's where I'm from, mm-hmm. having worked in Indianapolis, Chicago, Ames, Iowa. But it was last year about Christmas, we were taking a walk, and I was in like sweat shorts and a t-shirt, and I looked over to my wife, and I said, you know what? If I never got to go back to the weather, I'm fine with it. So we're walking.
I never have to put on one of those big, heavy down jackets.
Yeah.
So you don't miss the snow then.
No. So it's funny, it all worked out 3 months later. I was making the next move to Statesboro, Georgia. But yeah, we have really grown to like the weather.
that's a huge thing. It's you touched on some of the keystones for a lot of people from that northern to southern experience. Not missing the snow. That's huge. And then horn honking.
Yeah.
That's a whole whole different thing in the South. I mean,
well,
up north,
excluding Atlanta.
Like, well, yeah, now, for the most part. But like
one of Lee's cousins moved to Savannah from Atlanta, and she had to wean herself off the horn.
Honking the horn in the South is basically an invite to fist fight. Yeah. it's the prelude to like violence, basically. Yeah. It doesn't carry. It carries way more gravitas down here, I would say.
Yeah, because if you're blowing the horn down here, you better mean it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Somebody better just have tried to run you off the road or something.
And, you know, you're driving in Statesboro, so that's probably true,
actually. Yeah, it could be true. Yeah. You're listening to East Georgia's Morning Show. It's a special edition of Blue Thursday on Wednesday this week, and it's proudly sponsored by United Country Range Realty Group and United Country Low Country Auction. We're happy to have Coach Charlie Henry here with us this morning talking about men's basketball. And, Coach, first of all, how would you describe the style of basketball that you coach?
Yeah, for sure. First off, I want to thank you for accommodating my schedule. We try to build our off days around recruiting.
Well, not just anybody can move days around like that. I mean, we move Thursday to Wednesday.
Well, we try to build our off days around recruiting. And as much as I love you guys, the kid I'm going to see after this, I love him more. So,
wow.
Okay. Just kidding. But no, I appreciate
it. You're not kidding.
I don't know how many games you're going to help me win.
Exactly.
But no, yeah, as far as style of play, I think if you ask people that watch us practice or, you know, returning players, we're trying to obviously play fast. Now, we're not trying to win like a track meet, so we want to play fast and efficient. But we do feel like there's easy opportunities. It's, you know, making a defense set their defense in the first 6 to 8 seconds of the clock, flowing into offense quickly. We feel like it puts a lot of stress on the defense, so we definitely want to maximize the first 8 seconds of the possession by getting the ball in the scoring area quickly, taking the first great shot. Like, we're not trying to take the first shot, but the first great shot, our guys understanding what's a great shot. So yeah, I think you're going to see a team that plays really up tempo. Obviously, we want to do it together. We want to share the ball. It's not just a one man deal, it's a five-man deal. So, and then, you know, having to guard that every day, I hope we, you know, transition our defense well, set our defense well, and really get after you defensively. So I think that's what you'll see. And I think if you talk to, you know, returning players and, you know, people that have watched practice, it'll be pretty evident.
Now, because you play such an up-tempo style, that means, I would guess, a lot of substitution, keeping fresh legs in there. So the bench has to be pretty deep.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, Danny's watch practice, so he's over here, you know, talking about it being up-tempo. To be honest, you know, my last 11 years in basketball, our teams have always played very fast, so that's just kind of all I know. You know, I happen to think we go slow at times. So, but yeah, you know, I mean, obviously,
speed is relative.
Yeah, for sure. So, obviously, if you know, if we're looking to play a higher possession game, you know, you can't just do that playing six or seven guys. So, developing some of our younger players to come in and give us good minutes. You know, obviously, again, you know, we got 13 scholarship guys. You know, two of them should be back with us very soon, but they're, you know, dealing with some nagging type stuff. So, you know, will we play all 11? Probably not, but, you know, will we all 11 are going to get opportunities at some point. You know, I plan on us playing 9 or 10, though, for sure.
Well, and because of the change in style, I imagine that means having to bring in some players that can fit the style of basketball that you play. So have you had to hit the portal, the transfer portal?
For sure. So, you know, we have, you know, five returners, and that doesn't obviously include Johnny McFatten, who unfortunately suffered a knee deal in our last spring workout. So, you know, we have a pretty good mix. So we have five guys coming back, you know, that were in the program before I got here. They had signed three freshmen, so we were able to retain those three, which we're really, really excited about. We feel like three good young players. And then, yeah, we did bring in five guys out of the portal. So what we felt, you know, obviously we wanted style fits. Like, I want as many guys on the floor who can dribble, pass, and shoot. You know, it's not like, oh, just your point guard, you know, needs to be, you know, dribble, pass, shoot guy. No, we want, ideally in a perfect world, we would like to put five guys out there that can all do that and play the way we want to play. But we felt like we had to address shooting. You know, if you look at the way our team shot the three ball, it's going to be hard to be a really good offensive team if your shooting doesn't provide a certain element of spacing. So we knew we had to address shooting, and we felt like we did that. Now, we were also looking for some other things. Like I said, we want to be good at both ends. So, you know, there's some positional size that factors in there, but shooting was definitely at a premium.
So the up-tempo style, a lot of times it's not going to go in the paint. It's going to, you're going to shoot as soon as you have a pretty good open shot.
So, yeah, for sure, you're going to definitely see more threes. So I know, I understand why you would say that, because you're going to see more threes that have been shot here in the past. Now, good possessions for us do hit the paint, but the paint touch is going to look a little bit different. It's going to be when the defense is spread out, and more times than not, we're driving the ball, making the defense collapse, and we're spraying the ball out. From there, we can make 0.5 decisions, quick decisions. So it's really more of a drive kick game. Obviously, we want our drives to hit the paint. And we understand the most efficient shots are still free throws. In order to get free throws, you got to drive the ball at the rims. Obviously, we're driving to score. Yeah. We're looking for our big on
but
drop.
But also draw contact as well.
For sure, for sure. Yep. And then from there, yeah, we're going to trade some of the pull-up twos for spray-out threes, which the math of the game, it is what it is.
The three ball has become the dominant thing in basketball anymore. I mean, if your team's not shooting threes, you're not winning.
Yes, for sure.
I saw something. It was a Moneyball type study where they said, you know, the threes account for more points. Or, you know, I didn't actually study it. I just kind of breezed across it. But anyhow, the they did a study, and shooting threes is more important than shooting twos in the basketball world, at least according to this study. So, yeah, if you're not shooting threes, you're falling behind.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you see it with football. You know, it's if you know 10. I came from Alabama, but the way Coach Saban teams won early in his career are very different to his last couple of championships, where they embraced, you know, playing up tempo, spread, no huddle. You know, they were a power team when he first got there. So basketball, there's probably a little bit slower to adapt, but you see it with football, where pretty much everybody's running spread.
Yeah, everybody's spread now.
Yeah,
everybody's up tempo. Everybody's no huddle. It's rare to see a huddle anymore.
Exactly.
Danny, you've had a chance to watch a practice or two. What's your, you know, initial impression? They haven't actually, you know, gone against anybody else except each other, but what's your initial impression?
Yeah, to branch off his point a little bit more about more threes, but there's also going to be more twos just because of how much quicker they're playing the game. I mean, Alabama's been top 11 in the country in tempo for four straight years, so this is an up-and-down game. Trying to get the best shot, the greatest shot in the first 8 seconds is going to be important, whether that's in transition for an easy layup or a dunk, or if you're down court and somehow you get an open three. If Malik Tidwell standing alone and there's only 2 seconds off the shot clock, he's going to take the three because he's a really good shooter.
Yeah,
that's the nature of it. But if they can find open threes and assisted twos, that was a big point of Coach Oates' offense in Tuscaloosa. They're big into analytics. You take more threes over time, that's going to generate more points. But at the same time, if you're getting those opportunities to get to the rim, you're drawing contact, you're getting to the line, that increases what shooting percentage you already have. And then that's only going to help your defense, because if you're putting constant pressure on them offensively, they've got to try to play catch up. They're not thinking properly. They're making bad passes. They're getting out of what they want to do, and that can help you get right back to what you want to do offensively.
Well, it sounds like an exciting brand of basketball, so we're looking forward to seeing it. And when's the first game?
Yeah, so we have our first exhibition game, and it's at Hanner Field House, obviously. We're playing Augusta University a week from Friday, so that's October 20th.
Wow.
Augusta's a really good Division II program. I have a ton of respect for their coach, Coach Mitras. Really, really good coach. Been there a long time. I believe they're 27-6 last year. So
wow.
They're a really, really good team.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you see our schedule, you know, you won't be surprised. Like, we're trying to play a lot of really good teams.
East Georgia's morning show is powered by Southern Chiropractic and Wellness Center, and it's Blue Thursday on Wednesday.
Woo.
Yes, a special edition of Blue Thursday, sponsored by United Country Range Realty Group and United Country Low Country Auction. Coach Charlie Henry from the Georgia Southern men's basketball program is our guest this morning.
Yes.
And Coach Henry, we're looking forward to that first game. What do you think is going to be the biggest challenge to you this season? What do you think is going to be the difficulty in getting the most out of your players?
Yeah, I'd say it's definitely our schedule. You know, ideally, I've said this before, but ideally we would like a couple more home games.
Yeah.
We just had some opportunities present themselves late in the process that we felt like were too good to turn down. So we're going to be on the road a lot early in the season in non-conference play. So we're going to have to learn, you know, how to win on the road really quickly. So, but, you know, it's a process, and I think our guys, our heads are in the right space. We've really had a good summer and fall. But it'll be keeping that same, you know, positive energy, togetherness. You know, again, during a game, like, we're going to play fast. A lot of things are going to happen. Like, you're going to have to weather a run. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Do you pull together or do you start pointing fingers? But that's something we talk about every day in practice. Like, our practices are designed to create adverse moments and have to have guys figure it out. So that'd be the biggest challenge, is that we're going to be away from home a good portion of the non-con early in the season, and we're going to have to learn how to win on the road really quickly.
Well, and that's part of why you play this type of schedule, is so that you encounter adversity and you learn to play through it before it really counts.
Yeah, no, that's the one thing. That's the beauty of the gift and the curse, I guess, of the one bid league. Like, at right now as it sits, the Sun Belt's, you know, probably a one bid league this year. So at the end of the day, you're going to have to, you know, like, shoot, I'm in college basketball, I want to play in the NCAA tournament. So at the end of the day, we're going to have to win our conference tournament. So non-con's going to give us some opportunities to play some really good teams. I think if you look at preseason polls, Tennessee and Michigan State are going to be ranked in the top 15 by pretty much everybody. So we're going to know what really good teams look like, and we're going to have a chance to compete against them.
Well, Danny, I wanted to talk with you about the football game that's coming up. It's kind of a big deal.
It's a little bit.
Is that a big deal coming up? Yeah. I hadn't heard about it.
Well, the fact that it's been 2 weeks and JMU is off a bye week as well. They're 5-0 and they're 50-3 at home the last 7 years.
My God.
This is a spot to try to go.
50-3
their last 53 home games. So
wow.
That's what Georgia Southern is going up against. You know, they made the move up to the FBS and joined the Sun Belt last year, and they were a highly successful program in 1AA and FCS, two national championships, but to move up and not really skip any kind of beat is pretty remarkable. They were 8-3 last year, couldn't win their division, even though they did. They had the tiebreaker over Coastal, but they were ineligible because they were transitioning, so Coastal went to the league championship game. As of right now, JMU can't win the division again, but that could change over the next month. You've seen that the Virginia Attorney General has written a letter to the NCAA to say, hey, let's try to look at this a little bit closer if JMU's in a spot where they could maybe be the best group of five team, and they're trending that way, but that's what Georgia Southern is walking into this weekend. The Eagles are a lot better than they were last year when they beat JMU, who came down as a top 25 team, but it's definitely different when you've got to go to their house and do the same thing.
Yeah, it's you know, JMU's fans are rabid. I mean, it's going to be a very aggressive, you know, non-friendly place to go and play them. And that, you know, you got to think that record, that 50-3 when it comes to their 53 home games, that's going to have some gravity. gravity to it. I mean, you're going to feel that walking into that stadium.
The good thing is that Georgia Southern has already played in some really good environments this year.
That
they
is
played
true.
In front of more than 70,000 at Wisconsin, just set the attendance record at Paulson against Coastal the weekend before. I think the JMU is going to announce a sellout sometime this week. They're going a whiteout, so be on the lookout for a different Georgia Southern uniform going into this weekend, something they typically don't do on the road. But the fact is, the game is won between the white lines with the guys that wear blue and white.
Yeah. I mean, that's a big point. You know, a lot of people have been talking about how this is I don't agree with the assertion that this is Georgia Southern's first real test of the season. We have already been tested several times.
Not.
Yeah, it's, don't always believe the Twitter league. Yeah, the Shant declares that
Shants
was a test.
Shants are nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah.
Look, modern-day college athletics, and especially in the Sun Belt Conference, this is something that Charlie's going to see up close. Every single game, you better be ready to play your A game.
Mm-hmm.
Coach Kurt Cignetti for James Madison has said this multiple times. When they were in the FCS and dominated people, they could do that by playing their C-plus game. You do that now, you're going to get your butt whipped.
Yeah.
If Georgia Southern walks into Harrisonburg this weekend and for some reason something isn't clicking, it's going to be a long afternoon. But vice versa, if JMU doesn't get the sleepies out of their eyes for a noon kick, then Georgia Southern's going to be able to do what they want to. You cannot miss when you've got an opportunity like this, whether you're hosting or whether you got to travel.
Well, as Coach Henry was saying, everybody plays up-tempo now. So the opportunity to fall behind quickly is there for any team that doesn't get moving quickly.
It's a little bit different with basketball because there's so many more possessions. So you're down 15-0. Okay, fine. We run 80 possessions. We'll get that back, force a timeout. So it is a little bit different. And even with football now and the new clock rules, possessions are reduced. You don't stop the clock on a first down outside of 2 minutes anymore. So to watch how teams strategize when they get into plus territory to say, maybe we need to go for this on fourth down, emphasize touchdowns over field goals.
Because Coach Helton, are going to have fewer possessions.
Yeah, Coach Helton, Coach Ellis have been really adamant about that. And they've been consistent with that, so that's been really nice to see. But when you go and play at a place where they don't lose, whatever chance you get to score, whether it's 3 or 7, preferably 7, but you need to take advantage of every opportunity you can generate.
And I wanted to mention the defense as well. Different style of defense this year, new defensive coordinator, and they are playing some pretty good ball.
Yeah, number one in the league in scoring defense, number one in the league in third down defense, and that's been a big part of what Brandon has been trying to do with this defense. Everybody wants to talk about the offense, but without that defense, getting off the field quickly, forcing turnovers, we don't get a chance to say that Davis Brand has thrown for 1,600 yards, leads the league in touchdown passes, averaging 37 points per game. None of that happens without the defense being as good as they have been so far.
Well, and the D.C. was the D.C. for Buffalo. And
yes.
So when we played them, they played pretty good against us.
You know, last year at the Camellia Bowl, you're looking at the over at the other sideline saying, that looks pretty good. And, oh, he's a Georgia Southern guy, so when the opportunity came up,
yeah,
maybe we could convince him to come back. Weather's better down here. You went to school here from Perry, Georgia. So that was cool. That was a cool thing.
That's kind of a no-brainer. East Georgia's morning show is powered by Southern Chiropractic and Wellness Center, and it's Blue Thursday on this Wednesday, sponsored by United Country Range Realty Group and United Country Low Country Auction. And we're happy to have Coach Henry here with us this morning. And Coach Henry, last words. We have to wrap it up. So.
Up against the buzzer here.
Yes.
So. Oh, good. Against the buzzer. All right, I'll take the last shot.
hurry down court.
No, sure appreciate
fast
you.
Break.
Sure appreciate you guys having me. Obviously, we kick things off a week from Friday against Augusta University, October 20th. We'd love to have everybody come out and support. It's free of charge, obviously, being an exhibition game. What you're going to see, obviously, our last year in Hanner, we really want to make it a special one for you.
One to remember.
You're going to see a team that works really hard. That's been the challenge for our guys. We want to be the hardest playing team in the Sun Belt. We don't want our great fans to ever walk out of Hanner talking about how hard the other team played. So, you know, we're working really hard. Our practices are always open, you know, to give you a program that you guys can all be proud of.